Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Four free record on my count. Seven, six, five, four, three, two. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Thursday edition of the Eagle Hour on the Super Talk Mississippi Radio Network. Bob and Kelly, we're in the Southern Bancorp Studios here in beautiful Hattiesburg. Luke Johnson over in Laurel at the Southern Bancorp Studio. Patrick McGee about to join us from New Orleans. We've also got some soccer news as the Lady Eagles get ready to take on Mississippi State. Later this evening here in Hattiesburg, we've got the assistant coach and one of the star players coming up on the show. And then I hope he makes it back in time. We've got an actual Englander by the name of James Wynn, who is an executive with TeleSouth, who is a soccer, or as he says, Kelly, football fan. And I think we'll have a lot of fun if we can get him back in time.
There's football, and then there's American football.
Yes, but he does not like the word soccer. I have learned that.
Well, and maybe, you know, with the news that Queen Elizabeth has passed, maybe.
Correct. We'll ask him about that, yeah. Which is sad. Dickie's Barbecue Pit sponsors the opening segment of the Eagle Hour. It is a great place to take your family for dinner tonight, a great place to cater your next tailgate. Patrick McGee is with us from NOLA.com, and we're on the verge here of a new NFL season, so I know that in New Orleans that means people are wearing the Saints gear, Patrick, and ready to see their beloved team on the field.
Yeah, this offseason has felt kind of longer than most, I would say. I mean, you have a new head coach, and everybody's kind of sitting around pondering, thinking about the past and worrying about the future, but right now I think a lot of Saints fans feel good about, you know, what this team has. So I think, you know, I haven't seen the intensity that you would expect on a game week, but I think that all changes on Sunday. I think everybody is anxious to see how these guys play on the road.
Is there some nervousness about the first time they take the field without their longtime coach, you think?
No, I don't think so. I think there's the expectation of continuity and that there's a certain level of stability. They kind of like the one time that Allen served as the head coach last season whenever they shut out the Buccaneers. So yeah, if they could get, right, you know, put a little bit of that on the field this season and that defense even take it up another notch, I think people are going to be plenty pleased with Dennis Allen. I think there's wide acceptance that he was the right choice.
I tell you what I'm nervous about, and I get the guys in here, would be a Super Bowl with New Orleans and the Bengals. I don't really know how I would be able to cope with these two every day.
Well, we're going to get a preview midway through the season because Cincinnati plays at New Orleans this year.
So what do you say, Luke? 28-0 New Orleans.
Well,
over,
I don't know why
the Bengals.
You're a Saints fan.
I'm
now
on the bandwagon.
So I don't know why you would be concerned about that. Yeah, I mean, you would
I'm
be
on the
on
bandwagon.
My side.
I am on your side, no question about it.
Patrick, you know, going in this game, because overall, you know, records determined playoffs, you are playing your arch rival and, you know, in the same division. I guess in the NFL, it doesn't have the same, you know, every game matters the same, I guess what I'm saying, in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a divisional game to start things off. And it's really, you know, if you look at it, it's I mean, you hate to use this as a term to describe the first game of the season, but really it's, these two Falcons games really are must-win games for the Saints, because if you suffer, you know, at least one setback against the Falcons, that kind of complicates things in division and in terms of getting a playoff. Because I mean, the Falcons games really should be two W's for the Saints this season. Now, it remains to be seen what the Falcons look like. They have some talent on offense with a Kyle Pitts and guys like that, but nobody's really expecting much out of them. But this is a game on the road in Atlanta, and you should be, you know, ready to roll. The Saints are fairly healthy, all things considered. It's a game the Saints should win.
Tell me the position you are most confident in. It can be on either side of the ball, and the position you're most worried about. It could be either side of the ball.
I think most confident is just where they stand on defensive end. I guess there's the health concern with Davenport, but you have Jordan Turner, really a solid group there. So I think, and I mean, in the, you know, I say that now. I'm going to say number two. I mean, the secondary has created some questions here because you trade away CJ, and then you see Marcus May's ordeal. But I think you're pretty confident with what you get out of your defensive end. As far as what most concerned about, I think it's the tight end on offense. Now, I think there's reason to be optimistic, but you don't have great depth. You have a Taysom Hill who's still adjusting to that position. Adam Trautman has showed he can, you know, potentially step up this season and have a much better year. So I think tight end is the one area of concern on offense. And then I would say, you know, on the other side, defensive end is probably the strongest spot.
Patrick, is Michael Thomas ever going to be completely healthy? I mean, this guy has been rehabbing forever, it seems.
Yeah, he had a slight hamstring injury in preseason preparations, and it's not a sure thing that he's going on Sunday, but he's saying this week that the goal is to play on Sunday. He was back at practice yesterday, and maybe they were trying to be cautious with him, make sure he didn't push it too hard. I don't know, but I would say it's very iffy on whether he plays on Sunday, but I guess it's probably better than 50% since he was back on the field yesterday.
And if you had to put a report card grade out on Olave, the rookie receiver out of Ohio State, what grade would you give him in preseason, and where do you look him to? How much do you think they'll implement him early in the season?
You know, in terms of the preseason games, it's hard to say because you had, you know, Ian Buck out there most of the time, so he wasn't able to get rolling. But I give him a B+, just everything I've seen. I think everybody is really upbeat about what he has to offer, and it'll be interesting to see what he looks like with Jameis Winston throwing the passes. Everybody really thinks he's going to hit the road rolling, and Olave just looks like kind of he's a pro from the start. You know, he's pretty polished coming in, and he's a guy that could easily catch 70, 80 passes a season.
Well, you talk about getting the ball rolling quickly. The National Football League kicks off tonight with what very well could be a Super Bowl preview, the Buffalo Bills against the St. Louis Rams. Or no, they're the LA
Los
Rams.
Los Angeles
now.
Rams. Yeah, sorry. This year. Yes, this year. Yes. Now, that's a great way to kick it off, Patrick. That's two big heavyweights.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what the Rams look like in a test like that. They're not quite the team they were a year ago, but everybody kind of looks at them as the team. They really kind of loaded up and put everything they could in to win the Super Bowl, and it paid off for them last year. I think the Rams deserve to be the NFC favorite, but I really see the NFC as a whole. I've said on here before, I just think there's tremendous parity across the board. I think there's 10 teams that could really contend and have that potential to contend. And, you know, I'm interested to watch the Rams and see what they do against a very good Bills team.
All right, a couple minutes left, Patrick. Let's switch gears real quickly to Southern Miss football. They lose in quadruple overtime. Hard to believe. That was pretty exciting. Against Liberty, from your viewpoint, a loss is a loss, but improvement, yes?
Yeah, I think defensively, I was able to watch the second half of that game. As soon as I tuned in, the first thing I saw was Frank Gore running down the sideline. And I was like, well, I guess they went to the super back pretty quickly. There's reason to be concerned and reason to be encouraged. You know, they've just got to get that quarterback position figured out, how they can get consistent production out of that. It was understandable why Hall went to super back there in the second half to really kind of give that team a shot to win that one. It looks like Wilkie's going in the field a lot this season, and everything you kind of hear Hall say about him, he sees him as the most talented quarterback they have. And just watch his film out of the high school, I was pretty impressed. So it's a tough position to put him in. But I guess we're going to see some Wilkie and super back. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Largely a, fair to say, guys, a money game this weekend.
It is. Patrick, let me ask you, I think Bob or Kelly asked me this yesterday. You know, what happens if Tyke's out a couple weeks? How good does Wilkie have to be to, you know, possibly unseat your named starter?
Well, I mean, if you kind of based it on what we've seen out of Ty Key so far last year and this season, and obviously Key deserves another shot, get back out there and prove himself if he's healthy again. But I, you know, if Wilkie goes out there and, you know, is completing 60% of his passes, avoiding big turnovers, I don't see how you don't ride with him. You know, he's talented. He's a good athlete. He's got a good arm. I think he has a lot to offer. So I can see Wilkie, if he has a good week or two, I can see him easily become the star quarterback.
You know, but the question I have about Ty Keyes at this point is his durability. I mean, this is the second time that he's been injured in his career. And I remember when Aaron Rodgers, in his college days at Cal Berkeley, everybody said there's no way he'll be a good NFL quarterback because he's always hurt in college. And he was. You know, so I'm hoping that that's not going to be the legacy that Ty Keyes leaves behind as a really good quarterback, but could never stay healthy.
Right. All right, Patrick, I know you guys have fun down in the Big Easy this weekend. We appreciate all that you do for our radio show, and we'll look forward to having you back on the show next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Patrick McGee, NOLA.com, him in blue, waiting for the Saints to kick it off.
Yeah, the Saints, man, the dirty birds of Atlanta. I don't care how lopsided it's supposed to be. We hate Atlanta.
We know it's going to be nasty.
Oh, for sure.
You know it is.
Love it.
We'll be back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Always appreciate Patrick McGee and his insight. Formerly our Southern Miss go-to guy, now our New Orleans Saints guy, as he works for NOLA.com and covers the Saints for a living. So it's always a great insight when we talk to Patrick McGee down in New Orleans. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour. They do it every day, and they continue to have the biggest selection of Southern Miss apparel you'll find anywhere. You can shop them 6 days a week on Hardy Street. You can also shop them online at campusbookmart.net. Also, want to remind everybody that the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast is available every day of the week, 24 hours a day, on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, guys, big doings this afternoon in Hattiesburg as Mississippi State's soccer team is in town to take on the Lady Eagles. Kelly, we're going to let you set this up. We've got some sound here from the assistant coach and one of the players. Tell us about this, and then we'll get it rolling.
Yeah, Mississippi State comes in here undefeated with a 5-0 record, and when you talk to some of the soccer coaches around the country, they say that Mississippi State has one of the finest women's teams this year. That's going, and the fact that they've come to Hattiesburg, and the Lady Eagles have played mostly, you know, on the road and mostly SEC West teams, so they haven't won a lot of games, but they're trying to find themselves just prior to them opening the Sun Belt season, where they will go to Marshall next weekend. So a little bit earlier this morning, I had a chance to talk to assistant coach JP Valadares and Esmo Figueroa. Esmo, short for Esmeralda, but she's a fifth year senior for the Golden Eagle soccer team. This is a big one at 4:00 today. So if you get a chance, get out there and cheer on the Eagles as they play Mississippi State. But here's kind of how the conversation went this morning with the two of them.
Talking Southern Miss soccer, Ez Figueroa, also known as Esmeralda Figueroa, grad student playing for Southern Miss today, goes up against her former team at Mississippi State. She did her undergraduate at Mississippi State, now a grad student at Southern. So Ez, going into this one, playing the Bulldogs. Tell me about what you're thinking as you head into this one.
I'm very excited, and I'm ready to see what our team can do, what we've been working on, and see how we can show up today and execute what we've been working on.
What's the morale of the team so far? You guys have the fifth toughest schedule in the country. So obviously, you know, that's you've been playing some really good teams.
Yes, sir. We just really tried to learn from from these teams so we can go stronger into our conference play instead of, you know, playing teams that we know that we can beat. We want to be challenged, and so we like playing bigger teams. And so.
And you'll open against Marshall next week in conference play. What do you see right now as the strength of our Southern Miss women's soccer team, and maybe some of the things that concern you a little bit as a fifth-year senior leader of this team?
I feel like most of our strengths come from when we go to practice. We try to, as a team, we try to execute things in the best way that we can. And so I feel like that helps us from each game to the next game, because things that we need to work on from the past game, we learn and then we execute that in the next game. And then the next game, we're obviously going to have things that we need to work on and we execute that in the next game. But sometimes the weakness could be that sometimes we don't really execute in one spot, but at least we continue to grow and we get better in the other parts that we do.
There's probably nobody that knows this Mississippi State team better than you. So what are the Bulldogs going to bring to the table this afternoon at 4 o'clock?
I mean, they're an undefeated team, you know, so they're just like any other SEC team, very athletic, and they're going to bring what they usually bring, confidence, and as a family, they play as a team, and so as we do, so it's going to be a really fun game to come watch.
J.P. Valadez is here. He's an assistant coach for the Southern Miss women's soccer team. J.P., the pluses of playing a really tough schedule as you have is that iron sharpens iron. The downside is you might not win as many games as you hope, which could affect confidence. Let's talk about that a little bit and take it from there.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having us here. We appreciate that. Appreciate the support. And we picked this schedule for mainly three reasons. I think we believe and belong with the big schools when it comes to soccer. And we are growing, as Esmo said, every game we go through, and every SEC team is great. We're not winning, but we are learning, and winning hides a lot of things. It's good to be exposed right now and learn to be ready when conference time comes.
Now, obviously, you had the Conference USA schedule last year. How would you describe, or do we know at this point, how, and of course, Marshall comes from Conference USA, so you know a little bit about them. What else do we know about the Sun Belt overall in women's soccer, quality-wise?
Sun Belt has a powerhouse that is South Alabama. Old Dominion is joining us as well, JMU. It's a very good conference as far as soccer, very tactical compared to this Conference USA, where you had some more athletic teams that were more direct, and that's a very interesting thing for us to deal with.
The fact that you had such success last year, how has that helped recruiting players to come to Southern Miss?
Not only recruiting, you can see too that we had LSU coming and playing us here, Mississippi State is coming and playing us here, and then a lot of SEC teams want us in their schedule. That is fruit of what we did last year, you know, and we're looking to keep that going. And recruiting-wise, we had a really good recruiting class this year, players in the World Cup, players like Esmo that have SEC experience. It's amazing for us now.
All right, so yeah, Mississippi State coming in here as undefeated. I know Rice has come here before, you know, and been knocked off when they were undefeated. No reason why the Lady Eagles, do we call them the Lady Eagles or is it just Eagles?
I think it can be either. Lady Eagles, Golden Eagles.
Okay. How about Golden Eagles? That'll work. Then no reason why you guys can't win this game this afternoon. But to soccer fans and the students that might be listening to the Eagle Hour today, what do you want to tell them as you guys take on State today at 4?
I feel like our team really doesn't look at if it's ACC, SEC, or Conference USA, or Sun Belt. We're just going to play the team and play our style and play the best that we can play. You know, we walk on that field and every player is a soccer player and you're all the same. So we're just going to put on what we know how to do.
J.P. Valadares, it would mean a lot, though, to have the ladies go out today and play in front of a big crowd on a nice day where the humidity is low. Should be fun today.
Yes, it will be fun. We had a good turn up against LSU, and we expect nothing less today. We know what the Southern Miss Eagles, the Golden Eagles fans can do, and we're looking forward to it.
Health-wise, how are you guys now as you get ready for conference play?
Yeah, we're getting healthy. We are working on getting fully healthy for Marshall, and we're looking good today.
All right, Esmo, so the goal is eventually med school for you. So by putting a whooping on Mississippi State today, that's kind of medically related, right? If you know, would they need some help after today?
I would say so. Maybe a little bit.
And what brought you to Southern Miss from Mississippi State?
Well, I'm from Petal, Mississippi, and I've always known Southern, and so it was just a real good fit for me and for my family at the time, and I'm very excited to be a Golden Eagle.
Well, we wish you nothing but the best, and especially today, 4 o'clock against Mississippi State.
I appreciate it. To the top.
JP, thanks for your time. Good luck, buddy.
Thank you very much, Kelly. I appreciate it.
Good job, Kelly. Another well-spoken kid playing athletics here at Southern Miss. Really proud of these young people.
Yeah, and there's a young lady with SEC experience, and as JP said, because the team was so successful last year, Esmo's going, I got another year of eligibility. Heck, that's a really good Southern Miss team. Why not go home? Right. You know, it's closer to family, and get to play for a quality program.
Right. Now, Luke, we're hoping James Wynn makes it back. He's on a business meeting for the company, but we've invited him to come on the show if he gets back in time. And James is a Crystal City fan. He's from England. And yeah, he tells me it's not soccer. It's football.
Well, yeah, I mean, they kind of have like a 200-300 year head start on that term. So yeah, I'm sorry, he's Crystal City. I'm just a Manchester United guy. We're terrible right now, but yeah, you know, I was looking through these schedules, and last time Southern Miss and Mississippi State played was 2018. Last time they played in Hattiesburg was 2016. But I was looking at the Lady Bulldog schedule. Guess who they have not beaten this year?
South Al.
There you go. They tied South Alabama 0-0. So count on the Jaguars to do that. The Lady Bulldogs coming off this past Sunday, a 2-1 victory over Louisiana Tech. Of course, Lady Eagles dropped a 3-1 against LSU at home. But, yeah, it should be fun. And we should mention, guys, Sunbelt paying dividends. This game this afternoon is on ESPN Plus. So if you can't make it to Hattiesburg and cheer on the Lady Eagles because of the leadership of Keith Gill and the Sun Belt, you can watch the Lady Eagles on ESPN Plus today.
For those that may not know, where do they play the matches, Luke?
Oh, okay. So when you get off at Highway 49, think about where Osceola McCarty is, 4th Street. You get off there, and you go east. And literally, what is it, 500, 600 yards on the other side, on the east side of Highway 49 on 4th Street, you'll see the track and field and soccer complex to your left, and that's where the Lady Eagles play soccer.
Yeah, so you're going to pass our buddies at 4th Street Bar and Grill, and right, there's a stop sign right there. Just keep going straight, and then you'll see it off to the left.
I know he's working on it, and I have so much faith in Jeremy McClain, but we got to get all of that on the campus. We got to get the soccer field, the track and field complex, and the softball complex on the campus.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, Bob, because I asked Esmo and JP about that, and they said although they understand that that's the goal, they really like the surface that they're playing on. So either way, it's out of their control. But interestingly, the Lady Eagles or the Golden Eagles go to Ole Miss this weekend on Sunday to play soccer because Ole Miss will not come here.
Have I heard that before? It seems familiar to me, but I'm just not sure.
Things that make you go, hmm.
All right, we've still got Central Latham to come up on the show, talk a little bit about upcoming football, and hopefully we'll get James back here to talk a little more soccer. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right. Remember now, Lady Eagles, or let's just say the Golden Eagle soccer team, will be taking on Mississippi State at 4 o'clock today at the Southern Miss Soccer Complex. This segment of the show is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Great place to take in a good meal tonight. Great lunch 5 days a week. And guarantee you that come 11 o'clock Saturday morning, all the TVs will be watching Southern Miss take on Miami, and you can get yourself a great, probably breakfast even deal. We'll have to check and see, but certainly a great lunch, and you'll have a good time watching the Golden Eagles down at 4th Street Bar and Grill. All right, so guys, I want to ask you this question. There's no question that soccer is a growing sport. You made a great point, Kelly, that a lot of kids just aren't playing football at a young age.
Not American football, yeah.
No, but they do seem to gravitate towards soccer. So why more men's programs don't exist? Why is there not a men's soccer team here at Southern Miss. And you guys enlightened me. Title 19 doesn't mean you have to have an equal number of men and women sports, but instead an equal number of scholarships.
Yeah, Title 9. That's right. It all comes down to scholarships. So if you have a football team, which we do fully funded this year at 85 or 82, or is it 85, Luke?
85.
85 scholarships. All right, so right off the bat, you got 85 scholarships on the men's side. You got to fill 85 scholarships on the women's side. Well, you don't have a team anywhere near that big roster size. The basketball team might take up 11. That's why, for example, you have a soccer team, you have a beach volleyball team, you have a volleyball team. Those are all on the women's ledger, but you don't have those sports for men because the scholarships have to be equal.
The ratio is basically the participation between male and female. The ratio has, so if you have 50% male athletes, female athletes, then the money's got to be divided along that ratio. And so that's, you know, that what it does is, in order for us to to have women's sports and to allow opportunities for our lady athletes, oftentimes cuts down on the amount of sports men can have. And where it comes into it is, some of the, it's not just women's sports. I mean, it's other sports outside the big three. They're non-revenue generating sports. And so that's where sometimes, you see these athletic departments struggle.
And because the one question comes up all the time is, well, why doesn't Southern Miss have a men's soccer team, for example? That's the big glaring one that, and they used to have swim teams at Southern Miss, but they had to get the scholarship numbers worked out. So
and when you have a massive athletic budget, just like, for instance, if our listeners want to see this, like, just go look at an Ohio State or Alabama or Texas, and you will see the amount of sports. I mean, it's some schools have 20 or 30 Division I sports, and it's just because the athletic budget allows for that. And so when there's the funding is there for multiple sports, you see the expansion on both the men and women's side.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, and it's Crystal City, Crystal Palace.
Oh, you're killing me.
Which one is it?
Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace.
You Eagles. He's got his bandana with him. He's proudly displaying it, Luke, who, by the way, just informed us, James, our co-host, is a Manchester United fan.
Oh, that's brutal. Beat Palace.
We got you Sunday.
it beat Palace in two FA Cups. Broke my heart.
All right. James Wynn is the vice president of digital marketing for SuperTalk Media. And as you can tell by his accent, he was born and raised in Hot Coffee, Mississippi. Is that correct, James?
Yes, a little Amish community that loves watching James Bond movies.
Where were you born?
Streatham, London. So southwest by Wimbledon.
Okay. Well, first of all, James, our condolences on the loss of your monarch.
Yes. It really just hit me. I was in Bridget's bridal over there, and I'll never forget now.
Well, you've never known any other monarch.
No, James. Not at all. No, I was born in 69, so
this is worldwide news to this point, James, and I just showed this to Kelly. My 11-year-old grandson sent me that text from his school in Florida.
Yes.
So 11-year-old children are aware of the significance of the passing of the Queen.
It is an absolute heartbreaking moment for England and the world. She was such a good leader of goodness and hope for the world and how to do things properly. And it's sad that she's gone. I don't think England will ever be the same.
And was an inspirational leader for the country during World War II, as I was telling Kelly. She would oftentimes risk her life to be with the people of London during the Blitz.
During the bombings, yes. Yeah. Inspiring when you have a leadership that's willing to be on the ground floor with you and commiserate. And
right.
I mean, I know she lived a privileged life, right, as most of us would use the term privileged. But when you stop and think that she never had a day off, right? I mean, we
she
get
was
to
always
be,
the queen.
Yeah, when we get to be 65 or 70, we go to the house and call it a career. Well, she didn't have that choice.
No, she didn't.
I mean, even at 96, 2 days ago, she was shaking hands with the new prime minister.
Yes, and that's going to be her legacy, that she was the last prime minister under Queen Elizabeth's reign.
And to think that her first prime minister was Winston Churchill.
James, as an Englishman, I mean, for you, is this a moment you'll remember the rest of your life in the same way that maybe some of us remember the day that, you know, that John Kennedy was killed or Ronald Reagan died?
Truly, I was just telling Bridget about the moment I heard when Princess Diana died and where I was at that moment. And I promise I will never forget where I was at this moment.
Right. Well, I'm sorry, but I want to take a few minutes to talk to you about soccer. We've been looking forward to this, or as you, my friend, have corrected me, football.
Yes, you know we use our feet. I don't know, you know, coming over to America when I love American football. I'm a big, huge fan. I love the Jets. Unfortunately, I'm a glutton for punishment.
Well, no, we're glad somebody does. I don't even think in New York they like the Jets.
We'd love to hate ourselves. Jet fans. I'm a big Southern Miss. I went to USM and a huge Golden Eagle fan. And my football team are the Eagles.
Crystal Palace.
Palace and the pride of South London is what we are.
You know, you're killing my son-in-law if he listens to the podcast. And as I told you, he's a big Chelsea guy.
Yeah, he's dying on the vine right now. He just lost his manager.
Luke, I know you've got something you want to ask James about the football.
Yeah, I kind of wanted, because we'll talk a little Premier League. I mean, my team, Manchester United, is right now the equivalent of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Somehow they have found ways to tank their team and still make money, even though Cristiano Ronaldo is on their roster. So it's a pitiable and a pitiful state, James Wynn, of one of the greatest clubs in really European soccer.
Well, my opinion on that is it is not as dark and bleak as you just made it. Manchester United have been on a great run. They had a new manager. It takes time for the team to gel together. The future's bright. You have a lot of talent that needed to gel, and now you're gelling, and I don't want Man U right now. You just beat Arsenal 3-1 at the house at Old Trafford, and Palace do not beat Manchester United. We had one win in 30 matches against you guys.
We got Palace this Sunday, so we'll see what happens.
It's like Southern Miss against South Al.
Yeah. Hey, James, put in perspective for our listening audience, what is the atmosphere like when Manchester United and Crystal Palace square off?
Well, we'll be singing no matter what. Palace fans are famous for singing their songs throughout the games, whether we're getting beat 6-0 or winning 1-0. But United fans, they're spoiled, aren't you, Luke? A little bit spoiled.
Since about 1995, we've been spoiled.
Yes. So they're used to winning, and they got, you know, close to 70,000 fans there. They are much like the Dallas Cowboys, if I put that in perspective. Man U and Dallas kind of are very similar in the fan base. You expect to win. And
James, I want to ask you, one of the things that I hear consistently from people my age, full disclosure, you know, the 60-somethings, is that they just don't ever think that football in your terms or soccer in American terms will ever fully catch on in the United States with younger people. Agree, disagree, why or why not?
I disagree with the United States. You look at 20 years ago and where soccer was then, and let's go back another 10 years before that, where it was to where it is today. And the coverage on the channels, I can pick up football games everywhere. It used to be when I lived in New York, we'd have to wait to go down the Irish paper shop and pick up the paper to get the results from a week ago. Now it's at my fingertips, and that's changed how America is seeing the content. We see more of the content. So on NBC and Peacock and other streaming services, it's more accessible.
Yeah, and the Eagles game today with Mississippi State, as Luke mentioned, will be on ESPN Plus this afternoon.
Hey, can you stick around one more segment, and we're going to talk a little Southern Miss football.
Absolutely. Come on, you Eagles.
James Wynn with us here in the Eagle Hour Southern Bank Core Studio. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment of the Eagle Hour on this Thursday, brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com. Luke, Bob, and Kelly from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, some soccer going on today, 4 o'clock. Lady Eagles hosting the Mississippi State Bulldogs. If you can't make it at 4, you can tune in to ESPN Plus and watch the Lady Eagles take on the Lady Bulldogs. James Wynn with us. Southern Miss Golden Eagle by the way of England. And we were talking about this during the break, and I think Southern Miss fans forget, James, about Brooke Hendricks. She played Southern Miss from 2011 to 2014, has had an outstanding professional career. She's played for the Rangers up in Scotland, for West Ham United, currently with Reading just south of London in the Women's Super League. And, you know, for a Southern Miss soccer player to play professionally in Europe, specifically in England for some of those bigger clubs, I mean, that's a badge of honor for Southern Miss to have someone like Brooke Hendricks playing professional soccer.
Very, very strong. The American women program is top-notch. It's absolute world leaders in women's football. So it's not surprising to have the talent of South Mississippi and have a representative over in England. And I'm not sure how many representatives USA has playing in the Premier League over there. I would imagine a bunch because of the talent that is available over here.
So what we need you to do in this last segment is to convince Bob Getty why soccer, what the rest of the world calls football, is an actual sport as we all look forward to the World Cup later this year.
I probably need to take him to a Man U game, don't I?
I'd like that, yeah.
You can take me to London anytime you want to, Joe.
I was at Tottenham Man U watching Ronaldo score a blindo in a 3-0 victory for Man U last November. It was good to see one of the greatest players of all time score for Manchester United, even though I do harbor, I have to be truthful here, the pain of losing, again, 2 FA Cups, which is our US Open of our football in England, our biggest cup. It's not necessarily the Premier League. It's where everybody competes. So the FA Cup is the pinnacle, and Palace lost to Man U twice.
So my son-in-law's team, Chelsea, not that good?
Very good. Top five team. Going through manager change right now, but Stamford Bridge was the very first soccer game I ever saw. My dad took me to a Chelsea. He was a Chelsea fan. Mm-hmm. Took me to Stamford Bridge to watch his favorite team. And because where I lived in South London, in Thornton Heath, was a bus ride up the street, so I could go see Palace play there. And mm-hmm. It was natural. I played in their youth organization in their academy.
But, Bob, if you're a Man U fan, like Chelsea is like the New England Patriots or the New York Yankees to you. That's what it's like.
They're not love. You're not a big Chelsea fan, huh, Jack?
Not at all.
Yeah, no.
You're Luke.
I really despise Man U. You know, Liverpool back in the day when Ian Rush was playing, I used to, because it was, you got to beat Liverpool. But after two heartbreaks in the FA Cup, I can't forgive you.
But Manchester United historically has been like the New York Yankees. They just go out and buy all their players. That's usually the way. You need to explain to him, too. This would be really good information. Explain to him the loan process, how different it is from like trades in baseball and football as we know it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So when you buy a player and you're buying so many, these super clubs have so much money, they buy these up-and-coming players and they loan them out to the lower league clubs, much like you would do your farm system in baseball. So I buy who would be an example of a baseball
Matt
player?
Matt Wallner.
He's an ex-Southern Miss pitcher?
Right.
Okay.
A hitter.
It was a hitter? Yeah. Okay. So we'd have him and say the Yankees would buy him but let him play for Cincinnati Reds, who are not really on the Yankees level. No offense to Red fans.
Right, right. Or the Detroit Tigers.
And nobody is on the Tigers
so
level. Nobody wants to be.
Literally for other organizations.
Correct. And playing in the same league. So you're not going down a level, but you could actually, like Chelsea had Colin, what's his name? Gallagher playing for Palace, but as a lone player, you can't play against your home club. So,
And could the home club recall that player at any time?
At any time. They're under contract, so you have a certain period of time you're not allowed to, but we're paying the salary while he's on our club.
Yeah, so it would be like, let's say Wallner got called up by the Twins, and the Twins would lend him to the Cincinnati Reds. He'd play with the Reds, but the Twins could call him back at any time they wanted
to. How odd is that? That's different.
And he couldn't play against the Twins.
And he couldn't play, correct, Luke.
Right. Well, look, we appreciate you coming by, and we're going to get a picture of you with your Palace,
and it's a scarf
there.
Yeah, so every football game, they create these scarves for the teams, and they'll put half this team and half the away team, home team and away, and then you buy a club scarf and support your club.
And we did promise you an interview with Santrell Latham. We're going to keep that for tomorrow.
Tomorrow when we do our pick. We'll be broadcasting.
Come on, you Reds. Sunday. Take them down.
Remember, we'll be broadcasting from Canebrake tomorrow for the Lady Eagle baseball tournament, basketball.
Golf Lady tournament.
Eagle basketball golf tournament. I'll get it right. And we're looking forward to being out there. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top. Into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I'm going through the world on mission. Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.